You have, many of you have, the Baptist Distinctives, B-A-P-T-I-S-T-S. You've got that paper as another resource. Some of you may not have that. I was hoping to have some extras this morning and actually had issues with the printer. So we'll work through that. But B, as we remember, B stands for biblical what? Authority. This is our determiner for what we do in life when? On Sundays? Well, yeah, but what? Deanna, you're shaking your head no. Why? It's every day. How about, is this, teenagers, is this supposed to dictate what I watch on YouTube? Alexi's like, yeah, it is. Is this supposed to dictate how I act on Facebook? Yeah, because as Baptists, and really, there are others who believe this, but this is one of the core things we stand for. The Bible is our authority for everything we say and do. And we must determine what we do through the Word of God. Do you determine how you live according to what your pastor says? Now that kind of is a trick question. You're like, how do I answer that? What do you think? No. Why not? Because what's the authority? Now, the other half of that question is, yes. And why? Because I'm teaching you what? The Bible. Again, it's not all about me. In fact, I am excited about this morning's message. I get excited about messages, but I'm excited about this morning's message in 1 Corinthians. It is the message, not the messenger, that really matters. And the Bible is our authority. A stands for what? Autonomy of the local church. Did anybody remember what autonomy means? Autonomy. Who is in charge of our church? What organization? None. Our church is. Right. We are responsible before God for what we believe and how we act. And then we have the P stands for what? Priesthood of believers, we have direct access to God. The T stands for how many ordinances? Three? Two. And they're ordinances, not sacraments. We'll talk about that more. The I, individual soul liberty. You are accountable to God based upon the first B, which is biblical authority. Sure, live how you want, so long as you can justify it according to the Word of God. And you have to remember, someday you'll stand before God for your actions and behavior. But by the way, don't I have to do the same? Yeah. And so we grace and we love and we share the truth. Then we have S, saved what? Church membership. Not just anybody can join the church. They need to be saved. And then we'll actually talk about another step of that. The Bible makes important clear with that. And that's part of one of the ordinances, baptism. And then we have the second T stands for two offices, and that is pastor and deacons. And we may get into, if maybe you have questions, why don't we have an elder rule church? That's a big thing today. Why don't we have an elder rule church? Again, remember, if you've got questions on some of these things, why don't we do this or why do we do that? Write them down on a piece of paper and we'll put them into our study here. Then the last S stands for separation. And so I want you to learn these things so that as we get to the end, you can say them. We may have pop quizzes, not for grades, but some of these things I want you to get stuck in your mind. This is what we believe, not because pastor says so, but because of the Word of God. And so continue to let us work through that and let's grow together and believing strongly why we are what we believe, what we say we are. As we've talked through this, like I said, we'll get to the end of this lesson today. We talked about Baptist distinctives and the common beliefs. We talked about denominations. And remember, are we a denominational church in the technical sense? No, not technically. Remember, we said a denomination has a hierarchy, a governing body that oversees, and sometimes they move pastors. You've been there long enough, or you did a good job at that church, and man, here's a struggling church. That can be a bum deal for a pastor. You always get moved to the bad churches because you did a good job working through their problems. And but again, it's up to God, right? Not some denominational hierarchy of what goes on and how we believe and what we do. So again, we talked about the denominations and some true things, some false things. Again, God loves all people, not just what? Baptists. Are we the only ones who are saved? Say that a little louder, please.
No.
We aren't. And teens, don't ever say, well, you must not be saved because you don't go to a Baptist church. That's not true. Because how does someone get saved? One of you teenagers, how does somebody get saved? Tell me real quick. No teenager knows how to get saved. Sabrina. Yeah? We believe that Christ died for our sins and asked him to forgive us. And does he do it? Yeah. So someone doesn't even have to be part of a church to get saved, do they? It's not true that all Baptists go to heaven. Just because you go to a Baptist church doesn't mean you'll go to heaven. It's that personal relationship you need with Jesus Christ. And so we talked about these labels, Baptist label and some of these other labels, help us to understand what people believe. When you just go up to a church, a building that looks like a church, and it says some name fellowship, Koine Fellowship. Well, what do they believe? What do they teach? I don't know. That didn't necessarily say anything. When I'm going to look for a church, like on a vacation or something, generally, I want the name what in there? Baptist, because I know what they believe. And that gives me some idea. Again, just because we've got that label doesn't mean we practice the same or there's some things, I wouldn't agree with that or whatnot. But again, there's some labels and some reasons for the labels. We talked about being ecumenical. That's a big word. Teenagers, any of you remember what that means? Any of you, any adults remember what that word ecumenical means? Remember we talked about it when we were discussing the denominations. It's on your piece of paper as well. One of your blanks there. Ecumenical means non-denominational, universal, and all-embracing. And the blank there was unity. We just need unity. We're all churches doing the same thing, pointing people to the same God. But the reality is we don't all go back to what? The biblical authority of the Word of God. For salvation, it's not just enough for people to believe in salvation. I've talked with some men when I was a teenager, I think it was, and they believed in their church, if someone wanted to get baptized by immersion, that was okay. If someone wanted to get baptized by doing a backflip into the baptistry, that was okay. No, that's not okay. Why? We'll talk about that when we get to those ordinances. There's some specific things the Bible teaches and what it illustrates and shows. And so we can't just get together because they believe in salvation. Come on. That's not good enough. We do have to agree as a church family. Now, can we have relationships outside of church with people who aren't Baptists? Well, yeah. But as a church family, we're so cautious on relationships that we build because we can't just have unity at all costs. It comes to the Word of God because your next blank there said, the Bible is what? Real loud. The Bible is what? And that word doesn't sound good in our politically correct nation. Oh, we can't be divisive. We have to be all inclusive. Well, let me tell you, we want people to come. But the reality is, they have to come just like we have to come. It is the Word of God. And we have to go back to that. And so the Bible does divide because some people say, well, I don't want anything to do with that then. Well, that's what the Bible teaches. One of the big things that many churches are arguing over today is that homosexuals are okay to be part of the church membership. Well, wait a second. I don't think that a guy and a girl who are living together outside of marriage should even be part of the church membership. That is known sin in the life. And so the reality is we've got to go back. The Word of God does divide and separate. One of those things we'll get to at the end, the last S, separation with certain things, because the Bible is divisive. And yet, with all that in mind, Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your what? Love one toward another. God wants us to love. God wants us to love. And then we talked about how some Baptist churches have leaned too far to the left. Just because you have the label doesn't mean you believe everything it stands for, right? Just because you've heard of people who, man, they get their doctorate or PhD or whatever with 20 hours of an online course and call it good. Well, that doesn't mean it's a doctor just because you're called that. You know, I could be called grandpa. And what would that mean? Absolutely what? Nothing. But people could call me that. That doesn't mean anything. And so the reality is, labels, we want to be cautious that we do believe what our label stands for. And by the way, teens or adults, as God moves you on from here, and I hope not too many of you, I'd love to have you teens grow up and serve the Lord right here at Jeruel. As you go on and you're choosing a church, don't go to a church just because, well, it's Baptist. Again, you want to know that they believe what the Bible teaches, not just they have that in their name and that calls it good. And yet, we were getting into the reality that then today some Baptist churches have leaned too far to the right. It's not just that far left liberal theology of teaching all sorts of stuff. Like, what does that mean? The Bible doesn't have anything to do with that. There are Baptists who believe that women preachers are okay. That's too far to what we would call the left. Not because, well, pastor doesn't think we should have a woman preacher. Well, the Word of God makes it plain and clear. Not because we're sexist, as the world may say, well, you're just sexist because you don't want lady preachers. No, wait a second. God's Word says. And so we've got to go with the Word of God according to what the Bible teaches. Yet again, in what? Love. Now, does that mean, ladies, there's no room for ladies to serve in our church? Well, of course not. As Paul, the Apostle Paul, reminded us in many of his books as he was closing the letters off, he praised the Lord for the ladies in those churches that really had a lot to do with the work of the ministry. I don't know where Jeruel Baptist Church would be without the ladies of our church. Aren't you thankful for those ladies, each of you ladies who serve? What a blessing. And you say, well, I don't serve in some areas. Well, again, as you serve in the area God calls you to serve, that is what is fulfilling in life. But today, some Baptist churches have leaned too far to the right. 1 Peter chapter 5, 2 through 3. Let's turn there real quick. 1 Peter chapter 5, 2 through 3. Some have leaned a little too far to the right. Well, let's start in verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the what? Flock of God which is among you, taking the what? Oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. There were two things in that verse that the pastor has to do. Feed and lead, right? Oversight. There's to feed and lead. How does a shepherd feed his sheep? One of you teenagers. How does a shepherd feed sheep? Does he go up with the sheep, push the sheep's head down to the ground and say, "Eat it"? What does he do? Spencer, what's a shepherd do? That's it. He leads them to where grass is. My responsibility is to point you to what? The Word of God. And even as I preach on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or Wednesday evenings, or even a little challenge that there may be, like at a plug for the adult Valentine's banquet Friday evening, right, or whatever else, when I point you to the Word of God, I can't make you eat it or ingest it or let it change you, can I? You might sleep all the way through the message. Anybody know what I'm talking about at least once in your life? I've been there more than once, okay? So I understand. Now, if it's an every sermon thing, that becomes a problem. But the point is, I can feed you or lead you, but it's up to you to eat. I'll point you to green grass, not stubble that, go eat that stuff. Again, that's why as pastor, my messages have to be filled with the Word of God. I will feed you. Then he goes on, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. I am to be an example. Does that mean my family's perfect? Does that mean I'm a perfect husband? No. Does that mean I'm a perfect dad? No. But we've got to be examples. And man, God's Word reminds us that we need those shepherds who are godly examples. So if I ever stop doing those things, should you come talk to me? I heard somebody say it. What? Okay, can you say it a little louder? Because I'm holding you accountable to that, okay? I need you just as much as you need me. We need the Word of God. And if I ever step away from that, please come talk to me. Pastor, what's going on with this? Maybe I missed something in what you were saying. Please, that's the Word of God. So then we think of Hebrews 13, 17. And I'll read this one here real quick. You obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It's okay for the pastor to lead the church in implementing, whether it's a dress code, a standard of, hey, this is how we're going to dress in leadership. Now, there are certain ways we're going to say, hey, if you come into the church, you really need to put something different on. And bathing suits. Is it an appropriate attire to come to church? No. I mean, that's just a far out. Again, we aren't here to dictate, hey, you can't come to our church because you're wearing this. But there comes a point where you do have to be appropriate. But when it comes to even platform or teaching responsibilities, is it okay for the pastor to set a standard for our church family? Yes. Not that that's what I would be saying, you better live and act this way at home. Do you think I wear this every day? How many days a week do you think I wear a suit and a tie? One. Wednesday evenings, what do I wear? Blue jeans, yeah. Wednesday evenings, generally, depending on the night, generally I'll wear this without a jacket. Sunday evenings, I take my tie off. Again, there's a point of appropriateness at times. Wednesday club, blue jeans. I mean, all sorts of stuff's going on with the kids and activities. And so there's appropriateness. But when it comes to certain areas, it's okay for the pastor and deacons to say, hey, this is a standard we're going to set for our church. What other organizations do that kind of stuff? No other organization does that? Okay, military. Tell us how, Jimmy. So does that mean they're legalistic and mean and harsh? Well, they might be harsh, but the point is that doesn't earn salvation. That's just the standard. This is what you are. What other organizations do something like that? I heard what? Nursing. What about nursing? You wear a uniform. What do you wear, Trent? Scrubs. Now that sounds fun, right? Until you look at them, right?
There is a specific uniform. When you're in a hospital, you can tell who a what nurse is. Now, Trent doesn't have to wear that to church, unless she just gets off work, but if she's got all those germs, she better not wear it. But, the reality is, there are certain things that are requested and required.
So is it that harsh of a church? Well, you can't ask me to wear that when I'm going to come serve. Wait a second, your job asks you. There's a point of organization as a church family. And yet, in the same regard, we organize and lead in the church worship and how we're going to do special music. Lord willing, this year we'll get into a special music schedule and a routine. Man, I love music, and I'm so thankful for our music program. And man, as you know, I'm excited to expand that music platform. But there does have to be some cohesiveness and standards set about that. If we have instruments playing in church, are there certain ones that may not be appropriate at certain times? Maybe. Now, I play the guitar. I just did this morning. But there are certain settings that maybe that's not best. Or there are certain ways that maybe that's not best. And there are certain things as we work through that with other instruments. What are we going to do? Or special music. Are there certain standards of, well, we won't sing that. Or, you know what, that's just not best for our church. Is that okay as pastor and as deacons and as a church family if we set standards about that stuff? Yes, just like any other organization. But again, it's not just being weird standards because that's what pastor believes. We want to take everything based on biblical principles. Now, does every church flesh those out differently? Every church. How many of you remember my dad as a pastor? Do you know I flesh some of those things out different than my dad? Or even than what as subordinate to my dad under his ministry that I do differently? Is that okay? Yeah. Again, as a church family, we want to be godly in what we do, but just because one church does it doesn't make it we have to do it that way. Or we're ungodly. And so there are those reasons, those things we can do. But again, if I go too far to the right, man, it's not for me to then just dictate what others are going to do at home. As we set a standard for ministry and service in certain aspects, that doesn't mean you have to do that at home. Again, that's where our, and we'll get to that, individual soul liberty comes in. We have got to trust God for all that He is leading us to do in life and through life. So we've got the reality that some Baptist churches lean too far to the left, the reality that some Baptist churches lean too far to the right. And God wants us to be cautious as we do that, as we go through life. How am I going to live? How am I going to act and behave in life? Again, I'm not going to dictate all the decisions you make at home. In fact, how many decisions at home am I going to dictate that you make? Say that a little louder.
None.
Because it's not my responsibility. Remember, what did we say it was in 1 Peter 5? To feed. To lead and to feed the church of God. And how we, as we gather together and worship Him. So my pastoral authority doesn't extend to that. Have you ever heard of pastors telling people which car they should buy? I hope not. I have. That's sad. And if I ever get like that, run as far away as you can. Man, I don't want to do that. How about when Hannah, when she moves out of our house, do I have the right to tell her what she must do with her family? No. Do I right now? Yes, teens, your parents have that right now. But again, as her dad and as her pastor, even when she's an adult, that's not my right. That's between her and God. And if she gets married, her husband and her and God. And so we go back to what does, not just what the church says for life. What are some religious bodies that do that, have leaned too far to the right and taking so much oversight of everything they do? How about the Amish? Think about that. What are some of the things the bishop says in Amish groups? You can't use a chainsaw. How many of you enjoy burning with wood? How many of you are thankful you can use a chainsaw? Right? Man, how many of you drive a car or ride in one? Right? How many of you are thankful you can drive one, or teenagers, you get to drive someday? If you're Amish, you couldn't do that. You sure could pay someone to ride in it, but you can't drive in it. Some of those things don't make sense to us on the outside, but they have gotten to the point where they believe their bishop has authority over them in everything they do in life. What color clothes they can and cannot wear. Again, we said we can set standards for our church family and ministry, but not outside of church. I can't dictate what you do. But the Amish, they do practice that way. I've known some men who, a man who, his dad was excommunicated or shunned from the Amish group because he got saved. And he's like, man, that stuff doesn't make sense. The Bible doesn't teach any of that stuff. And he began to change. And they said, we don't want you around. And he didn't move. He didn't do some of the things he should have when he first moved to that area. He didn't fill all the electrical conduits with concrete and stuff. So when he got saved and started figuring out this stuff, he turned the power on in his house. I think the whole community ended up leaving the area because they didn't want his influence on them. But the reality is, the Word of God, not the pastor, is our authority for life. Some churches have Baptist on the sign out front, but only because they used to be Baptist. Again, we're not going to be Baptist just because it's the cheapest thing to do with our sign. In fact, maybe someday we'll change our sign. But we're still going to be a what? Baptist church. Because again, we believe it's a label for what we are. And what the Bible teaches us. There are Baptist churches that, again, you've seen. There are Baptist churches that elect a board of elders. And that the head elder is more powerful than the pastor. Well, wait a second. We'll get into that when we talk about offices. But again, that's not Baptist. And what do we believe comes that way? So there, one more blank here. Some churches do not have Baptist on the sign out front, but they, what? Should have. There are some churches that they are called Bible church. I went to a college with a guy. He was from Mackinac City. His dad pastored Mackinac City Bible Church. Man, they were very, what we would say, Baptistic. There are other churches who, man, they hold to the Baptist distinctives. They just don't name themselves Baptists. I've known some people say, well, I don't want that label because it has had a bad connotation in our area. I can understand, again, everybody, individual soul liberty. Do Baptists sometimes give themselves a wrong name? Yeah. But does that change who I am then? No. So someone used the name Josh in a whatever horrible way and it became named horrible use. Does that mean I'm no longer Josh? I don't want to be Josh because I don't want what that associates with. Again, we're Baptists and we'll hold to that label. But again, they'll know we're his disciples by our love and how we love each other, how we love the world around us. Not being harsh or ugly because we're Baptists. We actually shouldn't be harsh or ugly because we're Baptists. Because the Bible teaches us. And so there are churches who don't have the name Baptist, but they really live and act that way. Basically identical to Baptist. We went up to Snow Camp. There was a church that had, probably one of the churches that had the most teens at Snow Camp. Blue Lick Bible Church, down in Ohio. And man, they're very Baptist. Why they didn't take the name or haven't, I don't know. I'm not their pastor. Does that mean they're wicked? No. But does that mean we're going to get rid of Baptist? No. And so, again, not just because we've always been that way, but because the Bible teaches us. And that's what this study is going to get into. What do these mean? What is the difference? Why wouldn't a church want the name Baptist on their sign? There are multiple reasons. But I praise God for the name Baptist. I praise God for the heritage that we have. If you ever study Baptist history, long before the Reformation, praise God for our heritage. I praise God for Pastor Bob and his 40-some years of leading Jeruel, what? Baptist Church. And I praise God for the reputation that the church has in the community. It does stand for something. It means something. And I'm unashamed to be Baptist. Teens, you don't have to be ashamed to say, yeah, I go to Jeruel Baptist Church. No, that's an exciting thing. It's a label that defines what you believe because you believe the Bible. And let's live that way in all of life. God will bless us as we stand hard on that.